You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank God it's Tuesday. Thank God he's woken us up for another day. Or maybe it's 5:30 and you guys are tuned in then. Hey, thank God he's given us the strength to get through another day. Because I have learned that without Jesus, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore without him. I've tried before, but I can't do it without his grace. Lord God Almighty, we praise you in the house today. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for the strength that you give us to overcome this sin and this evil world. We praise and exalt you now. We magnify the Lord together, all of us, Lord. We praise you. Lord, bless us here now as we get into your word. Speak to us through your word. We listen for your voice. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We're in the book of Hebrews here in these Sunday sermon series. We just wrapped up Hebrews this past Sunday. You heard part one on the radio yesterday. Part two will play now. We'll be back in the book of Revelation looking at the church at Philadelphia, the faithful church of Philadelphia. That'll play Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here on the radio. This Sunday, my associate pastor, Darren Solana, has a powerful message. It's entitled, Watch and Pray. That is what will come out of the pulpit this Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6. That's when we meet. We'd love to see you for one of our services here now. We're in Revelation. We're in Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. That's where we left off. There's a whole bunch of commands in this last chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting with his command to love, to don't forget to love, continue to love. Let brotherly love continue. Then he says, don't forget to entertain strangers. For by this, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Then he says, remember the prisoners of Christ Jesus out here in the world. Remember them as if you were chained to them. Then he talks about marriage. Marriage is honorable among all. And the bed, marriage bed, undefiled. And everyone else, or fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So that's where we're at here today. This is part two of this message. We'll be back with the book of Revelation tomorrow. Love to see you for one of our services Wednesday night at 6, Sunday morning at 10:30. Up now, part two of this message, Jesus is the same.
Word of their testimony. I'm a Christian. Try that on for size. Number three, how do you overcome? I love him more than I love myself. Remember, all those who love their lives will lose them, Jesus said. All those who hate their lives will keep them for eternal life. Again, I love him more than I love myself. If you fail number three, you failed all of these. They did not love. How do you overcome Satan? You do not. You love him more than you love yourself. They did not love their lives to the end. You must prove the devil wrong concerning you. Remember what the devil said to God about Job. He said, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. That's what the devil thinks about you until you prove him wrong. That you will do anything to save your hide. Next up. Next command, marriage. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And the judgment will be guilty. If you have no intercessor, and if you've got no go-between, no one to stand in the gap between you and Almighty God, the judgment is guilty. Marriage is honorable among all. Naturally, since God created and instituted marriage, not the government and not the clerk of courts didn't invent marriage. God invented it. It's all the way back to the second chapter in the first book of the Bible. A marriage that is not godly is not recognized by God. A marriage that is not godly is not recognized by God. Everything else is sexual immorality, including adultery, and God will judge accordingly. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it. He said, Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What a perfect time. Thunder, lightning. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he says, do not be deceived, meaning don't kid yourself. Don't pay attention to what others are telling you. Neither fornicators, that's any sexual relations outside of marriage. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. So that's both homosexuals. That's Harry and Sally. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, not to leave them out, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Please get your verb tenses correct here. W-E-R-E, were, not are, such were some of you. The correct tense reveals your true spiritual condition. Such are some of you. Look, when this describes you today, man, you guys got to fix this. And this, he says, and such were some of you. This should describe who you used to be, not who you are now. See, there's the skinny on marriage. Now that you know the truth, do it right. Honor God with all that you do. Look, a healthy dose of fearing God is a good thing. We read in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it says that you have the spirit of the fear of God on the inside of you. Let me add to that. If you've gotten this one wrong like most people have, this probably is number one on the list that Christians have fallen short on. Is this one right here. And if that's you, what do you do? Five things. Number one, confess it. Remember, we read 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that's you, number one, you confess it. Number two, you repent of it. Metanoia. Meta means a change of condition. Noia is your noggin. You're going to think differently. Change your mind. They'd say in the Air Force, do an about face. You leave it behind and start going in the other direction. That's what repent means. Which is number three, leave it behind. This is why Jesus died, to cleanse us from these sins that we have committed. Number four, make it right. There's no good confessing it if you're not going to make it right. Don't waste your time. Make it, well, if you're going to confess it, then you got to make it right. Number five, pray for God's help. Pray for God's help to keep you from repeating it. Sexual intimacy is reserved for married people. Next up, next command. Christian conduct. Man, oh man, you could just hear a pin drop in here. They talk about silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Well, we can't skip over when he says, when he talks about the marriage bed, we can't just overlook that and go talk about everything else. We're going to flesh out all of these scriptures here. And he's one. That's why he says to you, don't be deceived or don't kid yourself. Because this world out here will talk you out of that and tell you, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people in England, they marry their cats. Let me tell you, there's something. You heard it here first. On the 13th of July, year of our Lord, 2025. God does not honor your marriage if you marry a cat. If you are a man, God does not honor your marriage if you marry a man. Oh, the clerk might marry you, but you're not married in the eyes of God. Marriage is reserved between a man and a woman. Make no mistake about it. That's why he says, do not be deceived. Because people will always try to talk you out of that. Next up, Christian conduct. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, so first point, don't lust after somebody else's stuff. The second, be happy with what you have. Because as he says next, you have Jesus and Jesus has you. And if you stop and think about it, Jesus is enough. And with that truth in mind, we've got verse 6. Since we have Jesus always, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? At Psalm 27. Church, life is this constant checkup and examination. When Jesus is all that you have, you'll discover that Jesus is all that you need. Sometimes it takes great trials of affliction to learn that. Isn't that the truth? When Jesus is all that you have, you'll discover that Jesus is all that you need. Everything else is just leeches that attach themselves to you and drain your blood like Count Dracula. Next up, remember your spiritual leaders and pastors. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider in the outcome of their conduct. A much better translation would be, remember those who lead you, not rule over you. Those who speak the word of God to you. Here in this church, that would be me, and that would be that man over there as well. Follow their faith. It better be good. God's going to hold us, he's going to hold us accountable if it's not. Follow our faith. Paul said, imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. And consider where their conduct will take them, he said. That's no added burden to me, huh? Now he's commanded them, follow the faith of your pastor or pastors, those that teach the word to you. And consider what my conduct might lead to, other than you becoming a carnivore. We already see this in action, though, don't we? I mean, who would dare bring a broccoli casserole into this church for a food fellowship? Speaks for itself. Next up, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, he still loves people unconditionally. He still looks at you and loves you. Peter wrote that down 2,000 years ago when he said the Lord looked at him and he loved him. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you're not, but he is. And that's either good news for you or it's bad. He hasn't changed. The word's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. That's what God said as well. He said in Malachi, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is still filled with compassion for you. Jesus is the same. So what applied then applies now, because Jesus is still the same. He's still the same Jesus that he was 2,000 years ago. When he said, two will be in the field, one's going to be taken, and the other's going to be left behind, that still applies, because Jesus is still the same. He's still coming back to two of you, and he's going to take one and leave the other, because he's still the same. Jesus is the same. When he said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, this still applies to you today, because Jesus is still the same. He hasn't changed. When he says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect him to return. This still applies to you. Jesus is still the same. He hasn't changed. And when he said, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Then he tells you why. Verse 25, when the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence. We do that here at the last Sunday of every month through the partaking of Holy Communion. We ate and drank in your presence. And he will answer and say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You see, Jesus is still the same. His word does not change. Praise God, Jesus is still the same. Good news to most, bad news for scoffers and unbelievers and procrastinators. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Jesus is still the same. The invitation is still given to everyone out here. Come to me, all ye who labor, and I will give you rest. Praise God, Jesus is still the same. What do you do with Jesus Christ? He's still the same. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's still the same. He hasn't changed. We don't have to wonder about that. We understand there's one way to get to heaven. That is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Because we can rest assured that he's still the same. His word does not change. There is still no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved by. It's the name of Jesus. And that does not change. It's still the same. You'll still get into heaven the same way by calling on the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's still the same. He still says, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy. You're loaded down with a great big load of bondage. He still says, come to me and I will give you rest. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is still the same. And from heaven, the Son still speaks today. He says, behold. I love that word. Behold, that means check this out, Smedley. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He's still doing that today. You see, as long as that is still today for you, he is still standing here with arms wide open, calling you and inviting you to partake in everlasting, eternal life through his Son. Through him. That's why he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Lastly, he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a great promise that is, huh? And he's still the same. He hasn't changed. It's not like, you know, we forget what we had for dinner last night. He doesn't forget. He's still the same. Who remembers what they had for dinner last night? Three, four, five. All right, five. Now let's wrap up the book of Hebrews. Verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Boy, there's a whole bunch of people that are preoccupied with food. I don't mean linguine. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not by food. Isn't it odd to read that here in this text? Of all the places, why put food here? Foods must have been one of these strange doctrines to the writer here. For him to lay a food on this, I mean, that's out of nowhere. He hits you with a food. This was still apparently an ongoing problem with the church. Eating certain foods today also is a strange doctrine, and it's not biblical. Or when people try to force you not to eat a particular food, like a lot of places still do. The Apostle Paul wrote this. This is the word of God, if that matters to anyone anymore. Romans 14:14, he said, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. Romans 14:14, write it down, book, chapter, and verse. For the next knucklehead that shows up at your house and says, did you know that this eating shellfish is unclean? You guys need to whap him upside the head with one of these gavels. You see, the people never expect you to have an answer to that when they say that to you. Don't you know that eating shellfish, don't you know, huh? You want me to hit it? Don't you know eating pork is unclean? Romans 14:14. How many verses do you need? All right, I'll give you more if that's not enough. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit explicitly says. Now, I believe he's talking about preachers and pastors here who have fallen away from the faith. That's what this whole book he's been talking about. He goes from a qualification to a pastor to a qualification for a deacon, and then he hits them with this. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. So what devil would ever do that? What does some demon care about what you eat? Only someone up here. It's only behind this pulpit is where you're going to see this happen. It's many preachers have fallen away from the faith. Look at what they do. Forbidding to marry. Some people still do that today, don't they? Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Then he says this. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Write this down right next to Romans 14, 14. The next time when they knock on your door and they condemn you for eating a pulled pork platter, this is your response. Romans 14, 14, 1 Timothy 4, 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. See that, Captain Jim? You can eat all the halibut you want. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why, and that's what I pray when I go through the drive-thru and Godzilla himself hands me a bag of food at the drive-thru. Please bless this food, Lord. Down to verse 18. Pray for us. We are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, as a matter of fact, let's make that our doxology here this morning. As we head out here this morning, one more time, this is going to be it here today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, grace be with you all. Amen. And the church family said, amen. You guys have a blessed day. Moses, the man of faith, we're going to look at 2 weeks from today. Next week, Pastor Darren, watch and pray. He's got a powerful message next Sunday. Looking forward to that. Watch and pray. Then we're going to go to a 5-week series, Moses, the man of faith. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for another great day in your house. No better place to be, Lord, than in your house. We praise and exalt you. We thank you for your word. Lord, show us here during the days and weeks here and today where we fall short. And may the power to change be present. Help us to make it right. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you back soon.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.